Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol Jesus 911. And we got a two-man car. And we're going to give you some Catholic intel, some Catholic briefing, so that you can get out there and hit the streets. And you can love God, save souls, and slay error. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, good morning, Jess. I am reporting for duty, sir. We got the second part of a great little series that we're doing, Jess.
Yeah, Eddie, one of the most well-known priests right now, and his theological mind is second to none. His name's Father Chad Ripperger. Anything you read from this man is just pure gold. He wrote an article. It's called The Sixth Generation. And we're going to finish it off today. Let me just give you an overview of what he did. He says there's six generations, and he started with World War I. He talked about some of the weaknesses, and he's, you know, and he attaches this like a demonic weakness to each generation. Then he goes into the World War II generation, and he attaches their demonic weakness as a generation. And then today we're going to go into the baby boomers. That's my generation. That's Eddie's generation. That's Terry Barber's generation. And then after that, he goes into Generation X, or Father Ripper goes into Generation X, talks about their diabolical weaknesses. Then he'll go into Generation Y, their demonic weaknesses. Then he says, this is the part that's eschatological. He says, you have Generation Z, that's everybody under 5 years old. And the way he argues it in the article, he says, incrementally, all the generations are getting worse. That's his argument in the article, that it's getting morally worse, morally more decadent. And he posits, Eddie, at the end, that the sixth generation is going to be the worst generation we've ever seen here on planet Earth, much like the generation of Noah and the generation of the Sodom and Gomorrah. Eddie?
Jess, you know, we have to remember that this is not a layperson's expectation of what might occur. This is an informed theologian, an informed priest, clergy, who is taking, is reaching a conclusion, just based on all the evidence and supporting that data that he has. So it's something to pay attention to. It's not something to react to in a kind of a fraidy cat kind of way.
Right.
But it's certainly something to listen to, because Father Ripperger is definitely one of the best minds, especially when it comes to demonic forces in today's world. So that's something we need to pay attention to.
And Eddie, he didn't say it in the article, but remember, a lot of these exorcists, they get intel directly from demons.
Exactly.
Okay, now, he didn't write it in the article, but it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of the stuff what he's piecing together is probably come about as a result of intel that he's received through a lot of interrogations and exorcisms. You know, that he just didn't put it because he doesn't want to make the article any longer.
Well, and you know what, Jess, the reality too is that they don't want to alarm people. They don't want people to start thinking that, oh my gosh, you know, this is the final generation, the Antichrist, this and that. They're aware of the realities of what the things that they say. So maybe he's leaving it out, and you know. But you and I are going on the assumption of what you just mentioned, and I think that there's something to say about that. And even, Jess, if it's not eschatology, it's not end of the world worthy, we could say, it's certainly something to pay attention to because of the generations that he's described up to this point.
Yeah, so let's finish off the article and make some comments here. Let's pick it up where it says baby boomers.
Yes.
And here's what he says. A baby boomer is a person who was born during the demographic post-World War II baby boom between the years 1946 and 1964. That's me. This generation is also known as the hippie generation, describing the hippie subculture that originally arose in the U.S. in the mid-1960s. The hippies adopted the disordered values of the beat generation. They created their own communities, listen to psychedelic rock music, further the sexual revolution, and some of this generation used a variety of forms of drugs to experience altered states of consciousness. This generation came of age at a time when technology could indulge them through the various disordered activities in which they engaged. Now, here's where he attaches the demon. The generational spirit of the baby boomer generation is indocility through intemperance. Indocility through intemperance. He says, because the greatest generation indulged them and did not pass on the traditions of their fathers, which required discipline and self-denial. The baby boomer generation was allowed to engage in various forms of intemperance. Remember, the word temper means, to moderate, you know, to moderate your passions, you know, to choose between both extremes, to be moderate and tempered and self-controlled. He's saying that our generation, Eddie, he's saying we lost it. We became an intemperate generation. And he says, aside from those who went to the Vietnam War, there was very little hardship in their lives except that which they ended up ascribing to their parents. Eddie?
And Jess, you know, we have to remember when the people that did fight that war were overseas, what was going on here was exactly what they described, was a hippie generation, Jess. They were indulged in doing the things that Father talks about. They were doing the drugs. You know, I don't know why, but the reality, Jess, is that I never liked the Beatles, the music that went along with that type of activity, with that which represented our generation, and now I know why. I mean, Elvis, the whole psychedelic rock thing. I just didn't like the fact that it seemed to go along with this trend of being chaotic. A little
that makes two of
on
us
the edge. Yeah, exactly.
I never bought a Beatles album, never. An Elvis album. Never
did.
I didn't really care for it. Something in my spirit. I said, I just don't like the music.
Right, exactly. And that was part of it right there.
So Father continues, Eddie, pick it up.
Yeah, the intemperance led to indocility. Docility is the virtue by which a person is able to be easily led by someone who knows more or who is above him. Due to the fact that the appetites, when left to themselves through intemperance, will not tolerate being denied, the baby boomers became indocile because to be led, again, requires self-denial. Mm. It requires a willingness to be humiliated through exposure of one's ignorance and folly in order to be shown what is the right thing to do. Also, intemperance affects judgment by making one think that what is, in fact, sinful is morally acceptable. St. Thomas observes that one of the effects of lust is hatred of God because he forbids the use of the generative faculty in a disordered way. Hatred of God is simply the extreme of indocility in which one must put away what one wants in order to do what's right. But the indocility led to a profound impiety within this particular generation. Piety is the virtue by which one honors those who are above him. The baby boomer simply unpacked the impiety of the rejection of tradition.
Ah, there it is. There,
yeah, that's a rejection right there. Of the greatest generation who blocked it. That's important. What the greatest generation failed to realize is that by not embracing their cross, one of the greatest crosses they would have is to watch their children who would be undisciplined, disrespectful to authority, and licentious. Baby boomers are a fine example of the words, what you sow, so you shall reap.
Words of St. Paul.
Yeah, exactly. And that there again, Jess, you know, we didn't like all that the chaotic music. There was something about it. And that was before I came to the faith, Jess. I was still, we were still
in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And we just didn't like it. Father goes on here. He says, but the
impact. Let me just mention one thing, Eddie, about one thing here that just jumped out at me. What really gets me is where he says that the baby boomers simply unpack the impiety of the rejection of tradition.
Yeah.
And that also applies to our church. A lot of the baby boomer priests, Eddie, were malformed by the World War II generation of priests. Okay? The Cardinal Bernardines.
Yeah.
The Cardinal McCarries. That's the World War II generation of priests.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them, so many to name. A lot of them, the next wave of priests, the ones that you and me dealt with, a lot of the liberals and modernists that we've dealt with, they were the baby boomers, and they were malformed. They didn't receive the tradition from the World War II generation of clergy, and a lot of what we see in the church right now is a result of that, the rejection of sacred tradition. You know, we see the silly architecture in a lot of churches. We see the we want to take the tabernacle out of the center. We don't want it in the center. A lot of the rejection of tradition, our generation of priests, they received it from the generation before that, and so we have a lot. We have a lot of restoration to do, Eddie. A lot of rosaries, a lot of penance, a lot of reparation on our part, because we've experienced all this intemperance of indocility.
And you know, just
indocility of intemperance.
And you know what? The reality is just that tradition that was eliminated by the greatest generation has to do with penance. It has to do with reparation. Look at McCarrick. He never repented. If he would have got caught and jammed up, he would still be in the same thing that he always has been. Okay, that's the first segment. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with more of Jesus 911 on this Wednesday. And stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Two-man hoop, Jesus 911, Soul Patrol. We're giving you some Catholic intel, some Catholic briefing. Yep, two guys that are 10-8. We're talking about an article, a very fascinating article by Father Chad Ripperger. He's an exorcist, a professor of exorcism. It's called The Sixth Generation. And Eddie, what he's saying here it lines up with scripture. And what I mean by that is it's talking about the generations are getting worse, starting from the World War One generation up until the end of the 21st century. And it just lines up with scripture. 2 Timothy 4:3-5. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. The word of the Lord. Here's more.
You're right.
2 Timothy 3:1 But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Avoid such people. Eddie, these two verses, it describes the time that we're living in now, but it's going to get incrementally worse, according to Father Ripperger.
Just, you know, and I think to myself, throughout the 2,000 years of our church, is there another era in time where these Bible verses may have applied? I mean, you know, I kind of get alarmed when I hear some of this stuff, Jess. It's very, very, to me, it's very telling about what Father's concluding with this article. And so I'm kind of looking for a way, out of it. But the reality is, has there been a worse generation? Has there been somebody during this 2,000-year period that has enveloped what the enemy is all about? Like this generation? I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so. I'll tell you all. I'll give you just one answer to that question. There has never been a country or a nation that's ever legalized homosexual marriage. Yes. Has homosexuality been practiced in Greece, in Rome, as a subculture, as something that people do behind closed doors? Yeah, absolutely. Sure. It's been practiced in Islam. But has it ever been legalized anywhere in the history of mankind? Never. See, that's one point I can show you where we have entered into the danger zone, Eddie. We have legalized something that no country has ever legalized in the history of mankind. So I answered your question with one point.
Just one point, right. And the reality is just other countries that we're talking about have dealt with that in a very severe way. I mean, there's countries that handle homosexuality with the death penalty. That's not from the Church of Nice, that's for sure.
That's from Islam. They still do it right now. Exactly. It's part of Sharia law. In 52 countries, it's a death penalty offense right now.
Exactly.
2019. Eddie, you want to pick it up?
Yeah, I'll pick it up here where it says, but the impiety was not merely toward the parents. Piety is a twofold virtue in which one not only honors one's superiors, but also one takes solicitude toward those under his care. The baby boomers are hallmarked by an inability to be led, a disrespect for authority, a clamoring for power under the guise of democracy, or by the ruse of accusing an authority of being dictatorial. However, once they manage to gain the position of authority through democracy or some other means, they either are ruthless, disregard the good of their subjects, are selfish and overly demanding, or they simply do not care about the state of affairs under their purview or the people under them. Jess, this describes the clergy we have today. We were just talking about McCarrick. We're just talking about Wuerl. We're talking about all the people that have stepped into the dark side when it comes to handing over the faith. And these guys, they took advantage. They had a position within the church, a very high-ranking position, some of them. And they gave it up. And this is what they're talking about here.
This is also reminds me of the Democrats today.
Oh, yeah.
The last three sentences you read, that's the relationship with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They can't stand authority. They can't stand to be led, Eddie. And they want to get power, and they're ruthless about it. That the last three stuff that you read about the baby boomers as I watch the nightly news, this is the relationship that the Democrats have with the president. They don't, they have disrespect for his authority. They refuse to be led by him, Eddie. And they're accusing him of being dictatorial. And so they want to win at all costs, whether it's ruthless, and they don't care how they gain back power, so long as they advance their cause. And this also reminds me, as you read this, again, a lot of just the liberal clergy that refuses to follow. For example, when we had Pope Benedict and John Paul II, or even Pope Paul VI in Humanae Vitae, when the baby boomer clergy doesn't like what a pope says, they basically oppose him to his face. Eddie, pick it up.
Yeah, Justin, you know, this is something that we need to pay attention to, because look at the vicious nature society will turn to in order to rebel against authority right now. Look at the things that they're believing. We can kill a child even up to the ninth month of pregnancy after it's born. We're gonna embrace those attitudes. We're gonna go against Alabama because they have this pro-life law. We're gonna run all the businesses out of there. I mean, this is something that people have to understand. This is not in a normal state of affairs right now. Just we're outside the norm.
It's diabolical, Eddie. It's diabolical.
Yeah.
That's why Father Ripperger is saying these are demonic spirits attached to these generations. And we see that demonic spirit in the baby boomer generation. That's our generation, Eddie. We see it right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead and pick it up.
Okay. Eddie. Generations X and Y. The children of the baby boomers are known as Generation X and Generation Y. While there appears no universally agreed upon set of years which constitute Generation X, the term generally includes people born from the early 60s through the early 80s. Usually no later than 1981 or 1982. This generation is sometimes called the 13th generation. Generation Y describes the demographic cohort following Generation X. Authors have used birth dates ranging somewhere in the mid-1970s to the late 80s or early 1990s, or as late as the early 2000s to define this generation. The generation is also known as the me generation because the members of this generation are noted for their narcissism and they are often hallmarked by their entitlement mindset. And that describes them.
That's interesting. That's like, Eddie, yeah. That like describes a college kid today, young adult, the AOC generation. What you just described there is the AOC generation right there, Eddie.
That's right. That's exactly right. This is the most needy. I call this the most high maintenance generation of all times. They need to bang a drum. They need to stand up and say, look at me. I've been victimized and therefore I'm entitled to X, Y, and Z. You fill in the blank.
And they're also known for narcissism. This is the generation that grew up on social media. Look at me running. Look at my six pack abs. Yeah. Look at my biceps. Look at me in the gym. Look at my new car. Look at my haircut. It's, Let me take the next paragraph.
Sure, go ahead.
Father says, the generational spirit of Generation X and Generation Y is a spirit of amorality or the absence of religiosity. The members of this generation are often hallmarked by nice personalities, somewhat easy to get along with, and are not mean-spirited. They are not immoral in the sense in which we will see with the next generation. They're unlikely to steal another's property, hurt others, or argue with others. They tend not to see the point of religion, and this is the generation which was first allowed to choose which religion it would follow. That set the stage for the sixth generation, which is their progeny. So, Eddie, this generation is also marked by what we call the nuns, N-O-N-E-S.
Yeah.
And this is also the generation that, you know, has looked to heroes as some of the new atheists like, you know, Dawkins and Hitchens and Bertrand Russell. And,
yeah.
You know, these are the ones that have started trying to formalize atheism, argue for its rationality and stuff. And this generation, Eddie, these are our children. That's our kids grew up in this generation.
Jesse, I really believe that the evil that the demons were shooting for here, that Lucifer was shooting for, really is encapsulated in this one generation. So, you know, if we can if he could control our environment, if he could control the choice that we're making of our own religious choices, then he could control everything that comes from that. This is the point of what evil was shooting for, in that by choosing your own religion, that's where I think it all falls apart. There,
heard that, Eddie, when we talk to people, we're counseling people, we're evangelizing, they say, "Oh yeah, I let my kids choose their own religion."
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
a demonic spirit that they've allowed to influence them.
Exactly.
The spirit of lack of religiosity.
Exactly. Exactly.
Pick it up, Eddie.
Yeah, Generation Z. Generation Z is a common name in the United States and other Western nations for the group of people born from the early or mid-1990s to the present, with the earliest date starting in 1990. This generation is the one that is completely plugged into technology. Mm. It is the generation that has gone without a coherent moral code, religious doctrine, or social norms. This generation is also the one that was left at daycare where no moral training was ever given them. Mm. Unlike Generations X and Y, who may have been spanked or reprimanded when they did something wrong, even though not much was taught to them as to why it was wrong, this generation received no moral formation at all from their parents. If they did receive moral formation, it tended to be what is in the general culture today, where sins are often described more in terms of how one hurt the environment than how one offended God. This is the one generation which has ended up really having little or no moral compass at all. For this reason, those who are older in this generation are beset by a spirit of depravity, as can be gained by any cursory search on the internet. Many of the older members of this generation are engaging in forms of activity and behavior that prostitutes of ages past would have had the decency to refuse. This is the inversion generation, in the sense that often what they consider acceptable, the term moral, is not used by this generation, since psychology has managed to reduce that word into the pejorative, is the inverse of what the greatest generation would have considered acceptable. Everything from living together as a norm before marriage to viewing same-sex marriage as a non-issue because they cannot see why others are hung up with it. Let's finish it up, Jess, on the next segment. We'll make some comments on this topic. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesus 911. We're 10-8, and we'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, "I want my husband to be on fire for the faith." Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference, or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith, because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
10-8, two-man car, we're on duty. Soul Patrol, we're here to teach you to love God, save souls, and slay error. There's an article we're sharing, it's called The Sixth Generation, written by Father Chad Ripperger. And what he's doing, he's taking the 20th and 21st century, and he says there's a different demonic spirit assigned to each generation. The article ends with Generation Z. That's where we're on right now. It's called The Sixth Generation. And Father Ripperger is going to argue that this is going to be probably the worst generation because the five preceding generations have systematically been dropping the ball in terms of religion, passing on the faith, rejecting tradition, embracing atheism. We have social media technology now that's exacerbating, sin. It's just sin is exponentially being able to advance as a result of social media. And so, let's get right into the sixth generation as you were sharing with the audience.
Yeah, let me finish this paragraph, Jess, because it's very important. It says here, the greatest generation would have considered acceptable everything from living together as a norm before marriage to viewing same-sex marriage as a non-issue because they cannot see why others are hung up with it. This does not bode well because the younger members of this generation are starting to show the signs of a spirit that will become full-blown in the next generation. Now, Jess, I recently have heard from several of our ex-RCIA students, and they're looking for guidance, Jess. They're realizing what was taught to them in the religious context is not out of sync with what they're learning in this generation, and they want to know, Father Steve's personal cell number. They want certain information they could go to get the real answers. They're asking me certain things. So I know that we've created within them, and then maybe this is the best you can do with this generation, Jess, is that we could put in something in their head that clicked when they started hearing something that was the opposite of what they heard from good, moral Catholic teaching.
Eddie,
this is
my heart breaks for this generation.
Oh yeah,
it definitely does. Because they're like, all of them are like Pontius Pilate in a sense. They're asking, they're grasping, they're saying, what
is truth?
Is truth?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Just and this is where evil has been so successful in disguising the truth. In social media, Jess, people can operate, according to anonymity, get on there, commit some sin, and then it kind of goes away. This is the very, very important part of what sin is today and what it means to this generation. But
also another thing, some of the great minds of the church, Amorth, Fortea, Ripperger, and others, Father Gary Thomas, they say that we know that the devil's a liar. That's from Scripture, John 8:44. But they're saying that he usually operates more in the area of deception because a lie is too easy to identify. I mean, if somebody, people are saying, "Hey, the sun is green," you're saying, "You know what? No, I'm looking at it. It's not green. It's yellow." So a lie is too easy to identify, and so these great spiritual warfare minds of the church are saying that the devil prefers to operate in the area of deception because that's an easier pill to swallow. Yep. It's easier to say, stuff like, you know what? You may look like a boy, but if you feel like a girl, you're a girl. If you massage the words, it's easier to say, to get people to buy into it versus just saying a lie, telling somebody black is white and white is black, most people are the rational thoughts are going to kick in. They're saying, no, that's black to me or that's white. Mm-hmm. And so all of this, as I'm reading Father Ripperger, all of this looks like every generation is not really being lied to so much. They're being deceived little by little. The old frog in the boiling pot of water, you know, you just put it up a few degrees and little by little, the sixth generation is going to be cooked.
Jess, I remember Father Carapi talking about the wordsmiths. He was referring to the wordsmiths that were in the church. Wordsmith theologians that were the beginning of what Father James Martin is now, right? They were the beginning of that generation, that type of thought. And now we have the entire culture is a wordsmith. Everything, I mean, plastic is now the priority. Joe Biden came out and said that his priority is going to be the LGBTQ thing, just in his presidency. I mean, are you serious? Here's a guy that hopefully he's not receiving communion anywhere, Jess. I hope he's not receiving Holy Communion anywhere in his diocese or other places, because this guy is just out of control. Okay, that was my little moment there. So let's go ahead.
Let's go right to the sixth generation.
Yeah.
Okay. Father Ripperger refers to the next generation, some of which are under the age of five, and which will continue for the next decade or so, as the sixth generation. Since it is the sixth generation, since the lost generation, this generation will have a spirit that is not like any of the other generations. Exorcists know that the introduction into the occult is almost always accomplished through immorality, especially immorality in the areas of the sixth and ninth commandment. Once a person has fully indulged himself in those areas, the demons begin leading the person down a path towards worship of demons and involvement in demonic activity, such as witchcraft. The previous generation's slow descent into the sexual depravity of the prior generation, fueled by a prolific pornography industry, has opened the door to the spirit of paganism. Eddie, take it.
Jess, I want to just mention something here. You know, this is what makes the option of the occult such a delightful choice right now, Jess. It's a delightful choice. I'm going to give you an example. The other day I was listening to, you know, Jess and Terry have been such a great impact, have had such a great impact on Catholic public thought. And even in a previous show, Jess, I was listening to Pat Madrid the other day, who often refers people to you when it comes to issues of spiritual warfare, etc. But there's a woman who called in, and she had a Catholic friend recommending a Peruvian shaman, and she's telling Pat about this, and you could just hear the silence, and she said, well, you know, I've been reading his internet, and this is a regular Catholic radio show listener, and she said I could read his internet. He's saying he's going to bless our house using a feather for $850, and it sounded legit. And he's saying, yeah, and he starts laughing. He goes, you know, I'm not trying to mock you with my laughter, but you got to leave all this alone. And she just had this little thing in her voice, like, no, it sounds like it's pretty good deal, Jess. The option of this delightful choice of choosing something is what's evil. It's something that people know that there's something beyond this natural level here, but they're not sure what it is, and they're willing to step into the occult to find out and solve that curiosity in their head. This is just something I thought was something worth mentioning, because you still have people that are operating on that understanding of Catholicism. That's basically it.
That's right.
We are already seeing the precursors of this spirit: the wildly successful Harry Potter series, the Twilight Saga, and other vampire and werewolf movies. One thing that is of note is how affected Generation Z is to the Harry Potter series. How attached Generation Z is to the Harry Potter series, and how vehemently the parents of Generation Z will defend the licitness of their kids reading these books and watching these films. Moreover, the vice of curiosity is in full bloom with the advent of every form of paranormal TV programs and movies, as well as a dramatic rise in witchcraft, which exorcists and other priests have already noticed. As saints and theologians and exorcists have pointed out for centuries, the vice of curiosity is the primary entrance into the occult.
Let's make some comments.
Yeah.
A lot of meat there.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Here's one thing that I would say is that there's this one priest that this one exorcist, he was invited to a house to do a house blessing because there was house infestation. And he says that he started going to the rooms, seeing if he can find some, you know, occult objects, amulets, you know, Aztec calendars and such. He said he saw a Harry Potter series in one of the rooms, and he said his spirit told him, there it is. That's how the demons came into the house. So he told the family, get rid of the books, throw them away, bless the house. And the family said, Father, they called him up about 3 months later. We haven't had any noises, creaking doors, windows opening, footsteps in the hallway, shadows, nothing since you blessed the house and we threw away the Harry Potter series. So this exorcist says that this is what was one of the portals, the way this house got demonically infested. How many Catholic houses, Eddie, have the Harry Potter series right now?
Jess, this is the reality. See, what happens is these kind of families that understand the reality of it now, because I'm sure they called the priest to mention this. They thought it was important enough to mention it to the priest. Why do those families not go on social media and put that out there? Why is it kept secretive in their home? You know, this is the issue, Jess. Is it not enough people? And that's why I'm so happy that we're doing this show, because we're able to get this kind of information out there to people to understand there is a portal that was identified through the blessing of this home that not too many people found out about, but because we're able to put it out on this show and let people know that these are identified portals that a Catholic clergy has found and did something about it. That's great.
Let me just mention also for people that are saying, what's he talking about, portals? A portal, this is a term those are doors that are opened to evil spirits. That's called a portal in Catholic spiritual warfare theology. And what happens is there are certain things that we do, witchcraft, the occult, pornography, drugs, certain things that you do can open the door, called a portal, to demons to enter your world. Eddie?
Okay, we're going to be right back. We're going to take our final break today. And don't go away. We'll be right back after these few short messages.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith, because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
10-8, two-man car, SWAT training, spiritual weapons and tactics. Jesus 911, this is where chivalry and courage are back in style. We're talking about an article called The Sixth Generation by Father Chad Ripperger, where he outlines the decadence that's been entering into mankind. And Eddie, he pegs it from the World War I generation, and he's bringing it all the way down to what he calls the Sixth Generation, which are kids under 5 years old right now. Here's something that he said in the article that you just read that I found interesting. You have a lot of Catholics, Eddie, that just cut their teeth all day on, as he says here, the paranormal TV programs. You have Dead Files, Haunted Live, Haunted Highway, Paranormal State, you know, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Mine, Ghost Stalkers. Many Catholics, Eddie, they cut their teeth on this, but they don't know anything about their Catholic faith. They don't have a prayer life. They don't live in a state of grace. And all they're doing is watching things that are horrible on television. And this stuff is embedded in their mind. And this is not good because it's not being offset by a life of prayer and a life of the sacraments and a life of reading the Bible.
Just it's like a student going to medical school and suddenly skipping all the anatomy classes, et cetera, and just going directly into surgery. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have to learn the basics about what you're doing and then get into it. If they're trying to do it without knowing a Catholic faith, there's a danger in it. Definitely danger in it. Okay, so
yeah, there's a danger. I'll tell you why. Like we've said before, because a lot of those shows on television, there's a lot of half truths. Okay.
Not but lies, not, but half-truths,
yeah,
right?
There you go, half-truths.
Yeah.
And yeah, there is demons in houses. Yeah, there is evil spirits. There's a lot of half-truths, but they don't have the fullness of the truth. That's what's dangerous about a Catholic cutting their teeth on these shows without knowing their Catholic faith. And that's one of the reasons, Eddie, I was waiting for you to retire so I can start this show with you. Because I know that this is an area that you know a lot about. God, thanks be to God, and so do I. And as a result, I said we could provide the body of Christ with at least some basic catechesis a few times a week to try to offset all the again, not the bats, the half-truths that are out there.
Yeah. And, you know, just the reality is that the absolute truth, which one can defeat all this with, is not put out there very much. And that's what we're doing here, Virgin Most
exactly.
Powerful. It's not put out. Hey, go
that's
to confession.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth and his shed blood on Calvary that he gives us in the Holy Eucharist and through the sacrament.
And sacraments.
And the Holy Rosary. The Blessed Virgin Mary who crushes the head of the devil and uniting your prayers to Saint Michael the Archangel, the warrior angel of Revelation chapter 12, praying to him every day. See, that was not put out on television, Eddie.
Yeah, and you know what? The reality is we could just replay that every day and everybody would have the answer, but we have to get into these little aspects of it to make our point.
Okay, but, let's finish up the article.
Yeah, curiosity is not being used in the colloquial sense of someone who simply wants to learn more. Rather, it is used to indicate an intellectual vice in which a person seeks after knowledge that is not suited to his state of life.
Oh, that sentence that you read is so important.
Yeah.
Read it again, Eddie.
Yeah, okay. So this is what it says. Rather, it is used to indicate an intellectual vice in which a person seeks after knowledge that is not suited to his state of life. The reality, Jess, is that we are supposed to rely on God for all information that has to do with our future. We rely on God for that. And what people are doing here is taking a shortcut. They're trying to go to the occult and trying to get information that's not suited for them to know at this point. Did you want to make another comment on that?
No, go ahead. You're on it.
Okay.
You're nailing it.
The fathers of the church observed that Eve's first sin was curiosity. Eve's first sin was curiosity, and exorcists have known from repeated experience that children and adults who do not curb their interest in occult practices or things pertaining to the demonic can find themselves the companions of the same.
That's a whole show right there. Those last two sentences that you just read, Eddie, are a whole show in itself. Read it again. I mean, it's because it's just meaty. That's what you just read is the meat and potatoes of spiritual warfare.
Yeah, so let's think about Genesis when we read this. It says, the fathers of the church observed that Eve's first sin was curiosity. And exorcists have known from repeated experience, that's through the 2,000-year history of the church, that children and adults who do not curb their interest in occult practices or things pertaining to the demonic can find themselves the companions of the same.
Let me just give a quick explanation of that. Ouija board. Somebody tells you, hey, dude, let's go come to my house. Let's play the Ouija board. And you start, what's the first thing that happens? Well, heck, I've never played the Ouija board. You're kind of curious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First now, demons problem. Are going to use that, especially if you're not anchored into your faith. See, if you're anchored into your faith is going to say, time out, red light.
Yeah.
That's considered the sin of superstition. That's considered the sin of divination. That's a violation of the first commandment, putting something before God. You're putting the Ouija board before God. Instead of trusting in God's divine providence for your life, you're trying to access knowledge about the future through an alternative means. See, so if your mind's well formed, you're going to tell your friend, hey, dude, I'm Catholic, dude. I can't play the Ouija board. That goes against my faith. I trust in God and God alone, as we say throughout the deity, Jesus, I trust in you. And so you're going to say, I'm not going to trust some device. I don't care what device it is and who made it to try to tell me, you know, what's going to happen in my future, what, you know, how much money I'm going to make, who I'm going to marry. In fact, there's some things I don't need to know. I just have to live by faith and just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and just pray to him. And he'll reveal things to me as he sees fit, as they say in nursing language, PRN, you know, whenever needed.
Yeah.
And so, but again, if you don't know your faith, curiosity is going to kick in. You're going to say, Ouija board? What time? Mm-hmm. Okay. 7 o'clock, your house? I'll be there. Why? Why did you consent to the sin? Because you don't know your faith. So you don't know that this is an offense against the first commandment. And Eddie, this is why a lot of our people are stuck on a lot of these occult sins as a result of curiosity, because they're just not well-formed in their faith. And that's why, again, we started this show, because as Catholics, say it again very clearly, put your trust in God alone, not in any man-made object. Don't worry about the future. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your life in the palm of his hands every day, and don't try to become curious about the future. That's God's business. Your business is just to live by faith every single day. Eddie?
Yes, and this is one of the things that the previous generations didn't hand over to us. They didn't hand over to that in a general sense, and because we're learning that now the hard way. I understand we have a call. Do we have a call, Mr. Engineer? Hello.
Hey, good morning. This is Robert from South Almonte.
Robert, how are you, man?
Friend of the show.
All right. Hey, listen, you guys used a word that caught my attention, and you said suitable. Many times people seek education that's not suitable to their calling in life, right? And that reminded me that so often as leaders in the church, when we select other persons to take on leadership roles, we generally stick only to whether or not they're qualified, and we ignore whether or not they're suitable for that role. And in
good
many
point,
cases,
Robert.
We bring people in who are qualified in the sense that they can do stuff, but they don't have a Christ experience in their life. They don't have
Amen.
The Spirit of God alive in them. And if you could talk to that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I love it, Robert, the way you caught that. You're sharp. It's because you live in a state of grace. That's why you have moral clarity. In other words, and Father Ripperger uses the word not qualified, because qualify is more of a legal word. It's more of a secular word. You have that in an application. Do you qualify for this job? Catholicism uses the word more suitable. That's more, you know, in teaching of Catholic theologians, the saints of the church. Are you suitable for this? And again, one of the things that makes you suitable to discern whether these some things are evil or not, you're only suitable to understand evil versus goodness, light versus darkness, when you're living in a relationship with God, a close relationship with God. And again, even Eddie, a lot of people in the parish that serve in the parish, there's a lot of people that are qualified to do a lot of things in the parish, but are they suitable?
Yeah.
Are they suitable? That's different. Yeah, they're baptized Catholics. They go to Mass every Sunday. They're suitable to do this, that, and the other. But are they suitable? Do they actually live the life of what the church teaches? Are they in conformity with the church's teachings? And so suitability, it's a higher calling than being qualified. And thanks for pointing that out, Robert.
Yeah, you know what, too? Jess, I'll give you a perfect example of this. Yesterday, you guys were talking to this law enforcement officer who is an extraordinary minister of communion who observed two other extraordinary ministers of communion not notice, or I should say ignore, somebody kyping the Eucharist, and he's the one that took action about it, and the others didn't. So there's somebody that's suitable for that role in the church, and others who are not suitable for that role in the church. They're very simple. Very simple. Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, brother.
Great point, man.
Yep.
All right. Hopefully we'll see you guys Saturday morning, 6 a.m. for prayer with St. Michael Prayer Group.
Yeah, I plan on being there, brother.
Got it, bro.
That means I
got
to get a good night's sleep on Friday.
There you go. Take care.
Yeah. All right, Robert. Thank you.
Eddie, finish up the article.
Yeah, so we are at the conclusion, I guess, here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so conclusion. From a simple generation gap between the lost generation who never fully communicated the virtue of appropriating suffering to the greatest generation in which the willingness to suffer was never embraced. From the two generational spirits of incommunication and unwillingness to suffer, a spiritual and moral collapse of society, the likes of which...
Of a society.
The likes of which have not been seen for some time is reaching its zenith. From a simple spirit which enticed a generation to reject suffering, to allow their children to be indulged, they set the subsequent generations on a path that they most likely would never have imagined. The generation is coming, which will be the full version, the full inversion of the tradition passed on both in and out of the church. However, God will not abandon man. Extraordinary graces appear to be given to the children of the younger generation, which have rarely been seen.
So yeah. Good news and bad news.
That's right. That's it.
Brother Ripperger says, yeah, the sixth generation is going to be, that's coming, is going to be the full opposite. That's what inversion means, the full opposite of the tradition passed on both in and out of the church. But he says that generation, Eddie, the ones coming up, God's going to raise some saints. He's going to give powerful graces to raise leaders in the sixth generation.
Yes, we just need to ask God to provide those people most worthy, most suitable to lead the charge against this next generation whenever it deviates from Catholic teaching. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today on Jesus 911. We're going to go 10-7 now. We're off duty. And we'll be back again tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for Gary Machuto on Hands on Apologetics. He'll be right back with you. Take care. God bless you.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.